And joining us now from CBS, our good buddy Steve Tasker. He will be on the call for Sunday's game at Cincinnati between the Browns and Bengals with Bill McAtee. Steve, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Vic. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure to have you, and you get to see this Browns team a whole lot. You saw them a lot last year. But the last time you saw this team till the time you're going to see them Sunday or in between this time, Steve, they've changed a lot, as you know. Lots of young players starting at that quarterback position with Brandon Whedon. What's your general take on the huge infusion of youth on this Browns squad?
Well, you always make those moves based on the fact you think you're getting better players, and then that's the plus. The problem is sometimes you sacrifice experience and knowledge about the game, and plus knowledge about the system that you're going to run when you get new guys in. They've got a lot to learn, and a lot to learn in all phases of the game. And sometimes those are the growing pains you feel when you change guys over, even though you feel like you're getting better athletes.
And again, one of those guys who experienced a whole lot of growing pains last Sunday against the Eagles was Brandon Whedon. Had really a terrible performance overall, and just did not ever really get himself settled in through the course of that game. Now, you know, you've played with Jim Kelly, Hall of Fame quarterback. You've seen other players through this league, both as a player, former player for the Bills, and as an announcer, Steve, throughout the league, a network announcer. Watching how this thing transpires, what's your sense on how much better or what can happen from a game like that Whedon had to what can be expected where he now has his first road trip against a pretty good Bengals defense?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, even if Brandon Whedon is everything that Browns fans dreamed he would be, if he comes out, becomes a franchise quarterback, if he leads this team down to the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, and they evolve into a Super Bowl team and win the Super Bowl with Brandon Whedon as a star player, even if all those dreams come true, he's still going to have a game probably as bad or worse than as he did last week. It's just part of the way you get to be a great quarterback. You stink it up once in a while. And there no question there have been guys around who have bypassed that, and we don't seem to remember the bad games they had. But if you're going to be a great quarterback in this league, you got to fail a lot and fail often to get to learn the things it takes to be a winning quarterback. There are hard lessons to be learned, and Whedon's going to have to go through it, and the team's going to have to support him, and they did. I thought, you know, there's no question your defense played a tremendous game last week and really played well enough to deserve to win. But it, as we all know, it's a team game, and it takes everybody. And the beauty of it was all really, you know, let's think about it. The Browns needed one play to win that game, and they were going to win that game against a really good Philadelphia Eagles team, and you know they couldn't come up with that play. But when you're that close, particularly to a quality team like Philadelphia, you got to have a lot of sense, a lot of reason for optimism going forward.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, that defense. With a lot of young people, Steve, L.J. Fort, an undrafted free agent, gets involved in the turnovers, and then seeing a guy like Craig Robertson, who was a guy last year who had come aboard as an undrafted free agent and didn't play. Now he's a big factor, and they've had a lot of injuries to that core, but it was – and you know Dick Geron quite well, the defensive coordinator. It kind of looked like a classic Geron game. Yards were given up, Steve, but they were making big plays, and points weren't being scored by the Eagles, or certainly, I mean, they had enough to win, but barely enough with 17.
Yeah, certainly you wouldn't like to, you know, you'd like to see the yardage go down a little bit if you're Dick Geron, but for the most part, if you've got guys that are ball hawking and creating turnovers, everything's forgotten because those are plays that win games outright. You look at if you can get a defensive touchdown, or if you can get turnovers and win that turnover battle, you're going to be everything your defense needs to be. And certainly the Browns were that last week. So, yeah, Dick Geron, there's no question, he's very well respected around the league. I think the thing you can count on is that every week he's going to have his guys in a plan. He's going to put them in a position where they're going to be able to hang tough with any offense they face. And there's no question that once in a while they're going to get outmanned, you know, because you're going to play some pretty good athletes around the National Football League. But for the most part, I think you can count on Dick Geron having his guys ready to play and putting them in a position where they're going to be able to make plays like that.
Steve Tasker from CBS Sports joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He will be on the call with Bill McAtee for CBS's coverage of Sunday's game between the Browns and Bengals. Steve, Trent Richardson, the third overall pick of the draft, so much expected of him. And, again, another disappointment seeing the average yards per carry at two in Sunday's game against the Eagles. But a guy who is coming back from knee surgery, didn't look like he, obviously his full self physically, but also maybe dealing with an absence of some blocking. Didn't have a lot of room to run either.
Well, I think one of the things you can think about it, it's easier for a running back to come in and make an impact, and there's no question. The problem is the Philadelphia Eagles figured that. And they said, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to take Richardson out of it, because they've seen the film too. I mean, they would love to have drafted Richardson themselves, I'm sure, if they'd have been that high in the draft. But they knew that it would be easier for Whedon to turn around and hand the ball to Richardson and beat the Eagles than it would be for Whedon to drop back and throw against the wide nine. So they took Richardson away. There's no question about it, and that was their plan to do it. And you know, when a defense in the NFL decides to do that, you're going to have to beat them a different way. And they put it fully on the shoulders of Whedon to get it done. And the results, you know, made it tough. I mean, Whedon struggled. And that was part of the plan of the Eagles, not so much that maybe Richardson couldn't get it done, or maybe his blocking wasn't bad. No, there's no question they had up and down plays. But I think the plan of the Eagles kind of foreshadowed what was going to happen to Richardson last week.
Steve, the Bengals, a very interesting team, because much more expected of them this year than certainly a year ago when they were coming off a 4-12 season in 2010 and surprised people with a nice turnaround in 2011 and a playoff team. But we watched them Monday night, and the Baltimore Ravens were playing exceptionally well. Their offense looked like something we really haven't seen from the Ravens offensively. A lot of firepower, a lot of Joe Flacco making big plays. And the surprise to me was that they had that much success, I guess, against this Bengals defense, against Mike Zimmer's defense. But if you could just talk about competitively what the mindset would be for this Bengals team, embarrassed on national TV on Monday night, now to turn around, get a divisional opponent, also coming off a loss, but you know that, and it's their home opener in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get the number one shot that the Bengals have to offer, and unfortunately, the Browns are going to have to deal with it. Andy Dalton was embarrassed, and I don't think it's any question. I think those guys, AJ Green, you know, all those guys want to play better. They know what it's like to play well. They know what it's like to go to the playoffs. They're expecting to do the same thing again. I don't think it's any question. Their defense and Cincinnati played with an attitude against Baltimore. They hung in there physically with them, but Baltimore just made so many plays. And I think Joe Flacco really arrived this last week. I've been saying Joe Flacco is a very good quarterback, an elite type quarterback, for a long time. And I think last year at the end of the year you saw that. I mean, he was a catch away from being a Super Bowl quarterback, and he made a tremendous throw on that. So I Joe Flacco can play. So they were up against a very good football team playing in their house on opening day. So the Cincinnati Bengals didn't look their best. So you can bet that in their home opener in Cincinnati, they're going to be a very tough team to beat, and Cleveland is going to have to play mistake-free to do that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, as you said. They will give their best. Andy Dalton had some struggles, Steve, after, again, this impressive rookie year. Is a little bit of maybe some sophomore – I'm not going to use the word sophomore slump after one game, but that sophomore challenge where people intricately study you now. You know, the Browns coaches are able to look at him in a different way than they saw him and had a whole offseason really to study him that they didn't have last year.
Well, one of the things I think you can see what happens and when guys get to their second year, they don't sneak up on anybody. There's no question that the defenses Andy Dalton are going to play against this year are not going to give him the opportunities they did last year. Last year, team said, okay, let's see if you can beat us, your rookie quarterback, much like they did to Whedon against Philadelphia this last week. They're going to say, you know, if you want to beat us, you're going to let Andy Dalton's going to have to do it. And last year, Dalton got it done. This year, they're going to take the quarterback away, and they're going to ask the running back and the receivers and the offensive line to beat him. It's going to be different for Dalton. That's why they're not going to give him the looks they gave him last year. They're not going to let him stand in the pocket. They're going to rush him and give him some things to think about. They're not going to jump on Cedric Benson like they did last year. I know Cedric Benson's not there anymore, but that would be a philosophy. Teams knew Cedric Benson could beat him. So they'd take Benson away and let Andy Dalton have his day. that's not going to be the case this year. And I think if he's going to have a sophomore slump, that's what's going to point towards it. Teams are going to believe he can beat them and do things to take him away.
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis is the guy they have in that backfield. Steven, I know you know a lot about him, the former Patriot. Do you see his role, and how do you sort of see the impact he can have for this Bengals team? He actually had a pretty good night statistically against the Ravens.
Well, and that'll tell you, you know, the Ravens were saying, okay, you know, Andy Dalton and A.J. Green aren't going to beat us. You know, I mean, that's what the Ravens were thinking. And so, you know, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, you know, they're going to say, okay, we'll give them a little bit in the run game. And it worked perfectly for Baltimore because they had the faith in Joe Flacco and their offense that they were going to have to, you know, force the Bengals to start throwing the football to keep up, and then they just couldn't do it. And that's a good game plan by Baltimore. But there's no question Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis doesn't have the pedigree that Cedric Benson had a year ago. Now, he's a good back, and given the opportunities they did, he played pretty well. But he wasn't going to beat the Baltimore Ravens. And I think that's what most teams, the philosophy of most teams, and I would anticipate the Browns as well, having coming in playing the Cincinnati Bengals.
Steve, great stuff. Appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you on Sunday, bud.
Nick, thanks for having me on. Look forward to seeing you.
He is Steve Tasker from CBS Sports joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.